And if you can kneel your rant, please do so.
We're going to pray.
Bow your hearts.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we trust you, we worship you, and we love you. We thank you so much for blessing us with your Holy Spirit's roots, gifts, armor, everything that we need to get through each and every day of our lives. We thank you for the trials and tribulations as well as the good times, because we know that you have our best interests at heart and you want us to gain heaven and be with you for all eternity. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. We thank you, Father, for healing our loved ones. We thank you, Father, for blessing those that help us do this work. We thank you for giving us the courage to go forth, to put forth this staff, and to do that, that you have called us to do. Here we are, Lord, send us. Thank you for blessing our efforts. We also thank you, Father God, for forgiving those that come against us. Give them the strength to stand firm in Jesus, too, so that they can join us rather than go against us. Thank you once again for this technology that allows us to go forth to all the world, into people's homes, and share the gospel truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. For those of you that are coming in that weren't here last night for Sabbath study, you'll notice when you come in that you will see a red dot on your name with an M in it. Any names that are not recognized, and even some names that are recognized that haven't been in here in a long time, or whatever the case may be, we have to be careful. I don't mind if someone attacks me, but last week someone came in that shared some lies about people other than myself and started a little bit of, you know, trouble in the room. And praise the Lord, people actually came in and vindicated themselves. And so, like I said, I don't care if they attack me, but when they start attacking others, we have to somehow do our part to stop it. Other methods are being investigated as to what we could do, but right now, whenever anybody comes in, the text and the audio is turned off until one of the moderators removes it. And if it looks like a threat, we will trace the IP address, and if it is in the same region as the person that was attacking, then that red dot won't come off. And there's a possibility we'll miss one and we'll get in anyway. If that's the case, then we'll have to step into the next option that we have been given in this respect, because I found out just the other day that I didn't know this, but it is considered a criminal offense. It's called internet stalking. Like the old days, they used to call it annoyance calls. You know, like someone calling you on the phone over and over and over and over and over and over. Well, now if someone comes in or emails you over and over and over, or comes in with an audio chat that you own, that's considered an annoyance call and it's considered a criminal offense. If you could prove it. Well, the thing is, we do have a string of IP addresses. There is a way that we're getting IP addresses now, even before the person comes in the room. So, praise the Lord for that. All right. Well, as soon as I hit the name.
Hey,
hang on.
Refresh.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Oh, there's a new one. This one here.
Mm-hmm.
Shows everybody that comes in the sign.
The number.
But that's the. Yeah, it's there. It's on the side. Hold on a second, people. Sitting right there. Right there, hold on.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But you're talking about this one here.
Yeah.
This one here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty then. We're in, Fran, we got to go to the book. click in the room somewhere. You know, Texas books. Wait, Josh is doing it. Josh must have done it.
Yeah, he's
done it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there he is, Joshua P.
Yeah, he knows how to do it, so. Nope. All right, makes it easier. And where does it say? The yellow one is letter 4, February 20th,
yeah.
1898. Okay, that's what we're starting. Oh, and before we start, I'll mention this too before the beginning of the sermon that Brother Rob is going to share today. I don't know, a couple of months ago, we had a couple of sermons and Sabbath studies in regards to the name Seventh-day Remnant. We also had Bible studies and sermons in regards to what Scripture and Sister White says in regards to organizing as a church, and we had confirmation of that fact, and so much so that when the sermons were done, I think it was like 2-3 weeks we did this, at the end of 2 or 3 weeks, I asked the people in the room who would like to be baptized in the name, step out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church or whatever church you're in, and who would like to be baptized and to join us in this last day effort to expedite the arrival of our Lord and Savior under the banner of the Seventh-day Remnant. 22 people came forward. And what I'd like to know is, are you still seeking baptism? If so, send me an email at your earliest convenience. And another question I need to know is, will you travel to Indiana to do this? Or Kentucky, Georgia, or Florida? Okay? Indiana, of course, would be the easiest for us because I got the T1 here and we would be setting things up on a home base kind of a setup. But I'm not going to let that, tell me which way we're going to go here. So just send me an email. Are you still interested in baptism? Many people are, I know, and they are doing the Bible studies that we do online, but spring is when I'm hoping to do this, or we're hoping to do this, spring or early summer, whatever the case may be, or if we do it at all, I don't know, because it all depends on the response. We don't want to spin our wheels for no reason. We can go into other avenues. So anyway, those that were interested in baptism a month or two ago, and you don't have to be done with the Bible studies yet, I'm just wondering if you're still interested. If so, how far will you travel for that baptism? It'll be in the Midwest, anywhere from Indiana down to Florida, and the Panhandle area. I don't want to go too deep into Florida because we're going to have to drive to get there. And so there's going to be equipment that we'll be bringing, projectors and stuff like that. So anyway, letter 4, February 20th,
1898.
Divisions will constantly arise. Unholy principles will be brought to the front. All classes will be called to take their stand on one side or the other. It's pretty neat how that is mentioned right after I talk about baptism. Christ says of one class, let them alone. Many who have so long trampled upon the rights of God, who have accepted the idol Sabbath, will accept very strong and unreasonable beliefs. Kind of like, that one scripture, leave Ephraim alone. He has been joined to his idols, kind of a thing. It's just give up. There's a time you got to, stop and just give up, turn around. All you can do is pray now. She goes on to say that the Lord is not in the alliances that are being formed with political movements. Like the One World Church or the WCC, World Council of Churches, that the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Catholic Church are members of. That is a global political movement. And the Lord is not in those kind of alliances. You got it right here from the prophet's mouth. They are bound to bring confusion and great entanglement. The loyal and disloyal have no equal ground on which to meet. Okay, next one, Manuscript 64, May 19, 1898. At the 11th hour, the Lord will gather. And now this is the 11th hour we're in now, okay? So at the 11th hour, the Lord will gather a company out of the world to serve him. Let's stop here for a minute. If you're in a church that embraces those things of the world, when you leave that church, Are you not one that will be gathered? Are you not part of that company that is out of the world to serve him? Because if your church is doing the things of the world, then you're coming out of the world. It's just common sense now. Okay? Continuing, there will be a converted ministry. Those who have had privileges and opportunities to become intelligent in regard to the truth, and yet who continue to counterwork the work God would have accomplished, will be purged out. For God accepts the service of no man whose interest is divided. And a good way to look at that is my own personal opinion would be, I know a lot of preachers, pastors too, that have left the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or any other church for that matter, and but for the sake of the Seventh-day Adventists that are within earshot, because it seems we do have quite a few that stop by online or offline, whatever the case may be, or an email. I know, and they know, and everybody knows, pastors or preachers that have left the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but in at the same time don't believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is Babylon. God accepts the service of no man whose interest is divided. How can you have confusion in that? I mean, if you left for a reason. If it's not Babylon, you shouldn't have left. That's just plain and simple. You shouldn't have left if it was Babylon. If it wasn't Babylon, you should have stayed in there and tried to fix it. Continuing, it says, he accepts the whole heart or none. The world and unconverted church members are in sympathy. Okay, this next one, hopefully we can get through it. It's kind of big. I think we can. Letter 65, August 23rd, 1898 says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, of course. There in his open hand lay the book, the roll of the history of God's providences, the prophetic history of nations, and the church. Herein was contained the divine utterances, his authority, his commandments, his laws, the whole symbolic counsel of the eternal, and the history of all ruling powers in the nations. That's an amazing book. In symbolic language was contained in that role the influence of every nation, tongue, and people from the beginning of Earth's history to its close. This role was written within and without. John says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 4. The vision was presented to John. The vision as presented to John made its impression upon his mind. The destiny of every nation was contained in that book. John was so distressed at the utter inability of any human being or angelic intelligence to read the words or even to look thereon. His soul was wrought up to such a point of agony and suspense that one of the strong angels had compassion on him and laying his hand on him assuringly said, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 5, of course, that being Jesus, the Lion of the tribe. John continues, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Verses 6 and 7. As the book was unrolled, all who looked upon it were filled with awe. There were no blanks in the book. There was space for no more writing. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Verses 8 to 14. And then verses 8 to 11, oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, in Revelation chapter 6, rather. It says, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them, And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And when he had opened, this is chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I have a word of warning to my brethren. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that is that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world, which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly, and hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3, verses 6 to 11. The same spirit is seen today that is represented in Revelation 6, verses 6 to 8. History is to be reenacted. That which has been will be again. The Spirit works to confuse and to perplex. Dissension will be seen in every action. I'm sorry, in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And those who have not had a Spirit to follow the life that God has given through His living oracles, through His appointed agencies, will become confused. Their judgment will reveal weakness. Disorder and strife, confusion will be seen in the church. And we see this on a daily basis. Sometimes it's really, really difficult to see this when like-minded brethren are reading the same scriptures that we read and they just don't get it. Or we're trying to share with them the same truth that we understand in regards to coming out of Babylon and they just can't see it. They know their leaders are in apostasy and they admit their leaders are in apostasy and they still figure it's safe to stay under those leaders. They come up with such excuses as, well, our particular church doesn't do that. But yet if you carry the name that those leaders say you must carry, then it doesn't matter whether your church does it or not. You're holding the same banner. You're standing in the same puddle of mud. Going on, the same spirit that controls the nations of the earth is working upon the minds of those who have had light. As the children of disobedience, irrespective of consequences, they act like the blind. They are drunken, but not with strong drink. We have this matter placed in the heavenly scales and weighed, and the result is presented before us. All this ambitious exercising of the spirit to exalt self will surely be worked by satanic agencies until the persons, whatever the profession, will reveal hereditary and cultivated attributes that will place them in the very lowest scale. And when God shall weigh them in the golden scales of heavenly sanctuary, the sentence will be passed out. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Because there's always a reason, a selfish reason as to why they don't want to leave these churches. Everything from the reasons that Ananias and Sapphira held back a couple of dollars to the point where those parents of the blind man who was healed by Christ said, you know, ask him, he's of age, when he was healed and he stood before the Pharisees. And the Pharisees asked his parents, who healed the man? And they didn't want to lose their position in the church. Selfish reasons. They were in the balances and found wanting. They wanted to keep their status symbol. They wanted to be looked upon as leaders in the church. They wanted to stand there because their family members were there, or friends, all they knew, their business connections, whatever the case may be. They wanted to stay for selfish reasons. And this is why the people stay in these churches. There is no other reason. Like Solomon said, all is vanity. There is no other reason. If you step, because, and this is one of the reasons they will not come, you know, they will not stand in the same area with you for any length of time if you bring out scripture. They'll do so with Ellen White's writings, because they feel they can manipulate them. But when you come up with a thus saith the Lord, they run off rather quickly. They won't respond. So they know deep down inside that they are supposed to leave, but they have the reasons to stay. It's just like the people that will be standing there on the day when they bring out those 30,000 guillotines that they got on U.S. soil or any other nation, and these people will be so selfish in heart, they'll think, well, you know, I'm a leader in the faith. Everybody knows I'm a Christian. If I get my head lopped off, my work is done. I don't think the Lord wants me to die. I don't think the Lord would have me be killed at this guillotine. I think I'll just go along with the Sunday thing so that I continue to bring more people in to Christ. Kind of like that man by the name of Jesus, not our Lord, of course, but the man by the name of Jesus that stayed in Jerusalem trying to warn the people to get out of the city. He died with them when that city burned to the ground. Next one, manuscript 24, March 28, 1899. It says, today men may persecute even unto death in an effort to make their fellow men worship an idol Sabbath, which had been brought into existence by the man of sin, who thinks to change times and laws. But to torture and to put to death the body is all he can do. Under his direction, men have inflicted untold pain and misery on their fellow men. And this is not a very easy subject to dwell upon. A few months ago, I was thinking of doing a page on the website entitled Torture and some of the methods that Rome has used. And when I started looking it up, I decided I can't put this on the site. It's bad enough I've got Fox's Book of Martyrs on there when it talks about what the Catholic Church did to these people. Some of these torturous acts, I am not going to, you know, I don't want to do it for the main reason is it might scare some people away from wanting to be Christians. And it's just like what the Catholic Church did. Before they would burn somebody at the stake, or before they would do whatever they would do, they would strip them down from all their clothing and put a robe on them. And the robe would have these paintings on it of people dying in the most horrendous ways, to try to scare them into, you know, accepting Catholicism, you know, or the ecumenical movement, you know, like, or the worldly church, because Catholicism just means universal. It's just one world church. But the methods by which some of the methods were just is insane. It's amazing how demons can make men be so hateful to other men, fellow men. they're so blinded. What's going on? She says, but they have never been able to harm the soul. The ruler of the universe bears long with the perversity of men, but he keeps a record of their works. And in proportion as they have caused pain to others, they themselves will be punished. You know, they will be punished in the same ways. And this is a sad but true fact. And even though they don't believe it, it's just like they didn't believe it was going to rain in Noah's day. Did that stop the rain? No. One thing we got to keep in mind, though, regardless of the torturous acts that they plan to do, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Lord has promised you and me that we will not be tempted above we're able to handle. So if they're going to try a torturous act on us, our faith has to be at such a position where we can handle it. If not, the Lord just plain won't allow it. That's why certain people will, go to death in strange methods before that day comes, As we know, many people died before the flood of Noah because they just wouldn't fit on the ark. They were heaven bound, but they just wouldn't be on the ark. Methuselah, he died just right before the ark, right before the flood. He was 969 years old, man headed to heaven. Going on, a spirit of exasperation, of revenge, of hatred works in the children of disobedience as it worked in the first great rebel, being Satan, of course. He imbues his followers with every species of malignity against those who cannot be induced to join his ranks. Gaping prisons are opened before them. They are threatened. Oh, by the way, I just saw the statistics the other day. Someone emailed them to me. The United States of America has the most prisons of any nation on planet Earth. And they're building more. And they're building concentration camps, too, in this country. The land of the free and home of the brave. Going on. They are threatened with the chain gang and the stocks. Thus, men treat those who worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. Have they forgotten that as they judge and punish, so will they be judged and punished? God has said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm in 1 Chronicles 16:22. Men have borne false witness against God's chosen ones. They have bruised their limbs with fetters and burnt them at the stake. The Lord will avenge his children. As men have carried out the spirit and purposes of Satan in causing pain to human beings, so will they suffer. Thus will they perish who have done all in their power to compel men to transgress the law of God, the law which God has commanded all to obey. Sad thing is, all those guys that are involved in killing Christians, even today, some may only die twice, but some that have been dead for years are going to die three times. Because they're going to get up and see that he's going to split anyone that was instrumental in getting Christ to the cross or a follower of his to their baptism of Christ, to their torturous death, if you will. They will be standing and see that eastern sky split, it says. All those who have pierced him. And when you kill one of his own, when you've done it to them, you do it to me, Jesus said. So all these men and women that do these torturous acts are going to die three times. What I mean is, especially the ones that are of old, they'd already died their natural death. Then they're going to get up right before the eastern sky splits. And then, of course, the seventh plague, 125-pound chunks of hail coming out of the sky, like the velocity of bullets are going to kill them then, second time. And then they get what's called the second death at the end of 1,000 years. That's the permanent one. That's the one that they're not going to get up on. I know. The devil tells everybody that he's going to reign for all eternity in hellfire and rule, and all his minions are going to help him. And guys like Aleister Crowley and Anton LaVey or even Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin are all going to be part of the guys that are going to be jabbing the people that are in hell with pitchforks. But they're going to burn with the rest of them. They're going to burn a little longer, in fact, than the rest of them. Because some people are just going to vape, they're just going to be like vapors, like they never were. Because they were truly, holy and unequivocally ignorant of the whole situation. But they weren't really used by the devil in a mighty way. Then the merciful Lord that we worship just lets them just burn up in an instant. But those that were used by Satan will burn a little longer. Okay, let's do one more. Manuscript 77, May 14th, 1899. And we'll pick it up here at letter 79 next week. It says, manuscript 77, May 14th, 1899. Christ forewarned his disciples of the destruction of Jerusalem and the signs to take place prior to the coming of the Son of Man. The whole of the 24th chapter of Matthew is a prophecy concerning the events to precede this event. And the destruction of Jerusalem is used to typify the last great destruction of the world by fire. And there's a lot of preterists, or preterists, as they call themselves out there, that believe that 70 AD is when Jesus arrived. They think that the Messiah came at that time or something. They got a weird, I don't know the whole thing on there, but they got some strange beliefs regarding 70 AD. But that is like an inkling of what's going to happen. It's not, you know, it's going to get a lot worse than that. Because when our Lord does something, he's a lot more graphic than mankind can ever be. I won't pick it up here next week. I'll be back in a minute.